Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Hello, I'm Chris Stamos, host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. So today's exciting as I'm here in person in the studio at WBLQ in Westerly, Rhode Island. And I want to invite anyone who would like to come meet me. Let's have a talking circle this Sunday, April 10th at 1 o'clock at the Perks and Cork in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'll hang out for an hour and a half or so. We'll have a little talking circle. So join me. I'd love to meet you. So today we're going to talk about worship of the divine feminine, which may be very misunderstood. To me, it's not about replacing the worship of God with goddess, but it's about shifting our perspective to include the feminine, to think of God and goddess as two sides of the same coin. And today my guest is Reverend Judith Laxer, and she is the founding priestess of Gaia's Temple, which is a house of worship for the divine feminine with a decade of service in Seattle, Washington. She enjoys a successful private practice as a psychic, spiritual counselor, teacher of women's mysteries, hypnotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. And she treasures her profession and is here to share that with you today. Her website is www.gaiastemple.org. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to talk to you across country.
I know. We're so bi-coastal.
Yeah. Used to be the opposite.
Yes.
So you started Gaia's Temple. What made you do that?
Well, about a little over 10 years ago, I was already very much involved with my own, on my spiritual path, very consciously on the spiritual path that worships and honors the divine feminine, the great mother goddess. And it occurred to me that, you know, everywhere on Sunday morning, people were gathering, you know, people of a like mind, of a similar heart, a similar spiritual sensibilities, had places to go to gather with one another and feel a sense of community about it. And the majority of the people that I knew who included the divine feminine in their worship did not have that sort of community, or were having trouble finding them, or they were sporadic. You know, every once in a while someone would hold a circle, or, you know, but there was nothing consistent to really build community. And this also happened around the time that I moved into a new office here in Seattle, which was, you know, way larger than the office I was sharing with someone else prior to that. And so I just decided that I was going to throw a goddess worship service one Sunday morning, which happened to be the second Sunday of September in 2000. And, you know, I just put it out there to everybody on my mailing list, and 12 people showed up, and we all sat in a circle, and I told the story, an autumn story of the great goddess Demeter and her daughter Persephone, and I included, you know, teachings about the wheel of the year and, you know, everything with regard to earth-based spirituality, and it was a great success. People loved it. They wanted to know, was I going to do it again? And so it's kind of interesting because at the time it felt to me like it was just a fluke. You know what? I think I'll give this a try, you know. But now that I've been doing it for over 10 years, I realize I don't think it was a fluke. I think it was, you know, something that kind of came through me. I think I was riding the crest of this wave of the resurgence and the return of the divine feminine. And it just kind of happened. So I started that, and I just continued on once a month, and here I am close to 11 years later, and I'm still doing it.
Yes, and you have created a wonderful community. We are like sisters in this, because Woman yeah. Wisdom is community, and Gaia's Temple is a community, and many people are in both communities.
That's correct.
And and appreciate, you know, both. And so that's a wonderful thing that you've put together. And I know I'm seeing and hearing more of a resurgence of the Divine Feminine just in the last 2 years. Have you seen an increase recently?
I do. I think there's, you know, I think there's many contributing factors to this, and I think it's cumulative, you know. Like, you know, you and I, you had your vision back in the early 90s, you know, I discovered the goddess in the late 80s, you know, and it was just kind of a personal journey, and then slowly it began to be a little bit more about the collective. You know, I think it's, like I said, it's cumulative. So there was more and more women who were turning to this understanding that there wasn't only one way of worship or one way that they could become empowered. And it just continued on and grew and grew and grew. And I think now, at the age that we're at now, you know, the beginning of the age of Aquarius and, you know, this big shift in consciousness that's been occurring, it's cumulative. And so very recently, it seems to have gone viral, you know, which is, I think, a wonderful thing, timely and a long time coming, you know, in my opinion. Feels good.
Yeah, and you have quite a few men coming to your service, so.
Yeah, well,
like?
You know, what I decided or what I knew was important is that, you know, we're not going to get very far unless we're all in it together, you know, which doesn't mean that everybody has to believe as I do or everybody has to follow the same spiritual path. But one of the reasons why I think there's been such a huge imbalance on our planet has been because of the suppression of women, women's power, women's spirituality, and the aspect of the divine feminine. So to create something that is going to bring the balance back and then to do what that, you know, do what was done to us, which would be to exclude the masculine, would be totally counterproductive, totally, you know, counterintuitive, and not at all really what this is about. You know, the divine feminine is inclusive. And so I created this ministry as an inclusive ministry, so men and women are welcome. And I do know of several other goddess temples around the country, and, you know, like you said, just recently a lot of things are popping up. It's kind of like the wave is happening, and it's manifesting pretty quickly. And a lot of those are for women only. And I do see the need for women-only space, you know, because I think that it's been centuries and centuries where women have been separated from each other, and I think there's a lot of power in being in women-only space, but I think that if it becomes that and that only, we're not going to get very far. So it was really important that Gaia's Temple be open to everyone, just like any other house of worship, you know. And you don't have to drop or leave your beliefs behind in order to come through the doors, you know. You just have to have a love of the earth, an open mind, an open heart, and be willing to consider and embrace that there's more than just God the Father, that there's also Goddess the Mother, and what a beautiful balance that is. So, yeah, I would say about a third of our congregation is men, and we also have, you know, a lot of families come, and we've got a beautiful youth program, too, so the kids are learning from the, you know, from early on about the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine and how that balances.
So that's an interesting thing to talk about, you know, the kids. And I know every Sunday they're there at the beginning, then they go downstairs, and I always wonder, what do they do downstairs?
Yeah, so we have a couple of wonderful teachers, and we our youth program, I'm proud to say, has grown to the point where, you know, the kids who were coming originally when they were, you know, 3, 4, and 5 years old are now like 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. You know, they're growing older, and so it's grown to the point where we have 2 teachers now, and one kind of teaches the younger kids, and then there's another who teaches the older, maturing children, so that their lessons are age-appropriate. But what they learn is, you know, about the creation of an altar. They learn about, you know, the different elements. They learn about the wheel of the year, the seasonal celebrations. They learn about the goddess and God. I would say, essentially, they're learning whatever it is that I'm teaching upstairs to the adults, but of course, you know, in simplified terms and easy-to-understand terms and age-appropriate. So there's always a bit of a lesson. There's usually a story that's told. The children create an altar together. You know, there's different songs, and, of course, there's a snack, because, you know, what would doing anything be without a snack? And it's wonderful, you know. The adults get to not worry about their children, and they get a chance to have some worship for themselves upstairs, knowing that their kids are cared for, and learning earth-based spirituality and how to care for our planet and, you know, okay. ecology and balance. And
yeah, and beautiful. We don't get any snacks.
We don't get snacks, no, sorry. What we do, though, quarterly is we have our social hour after the service. And so four times a year we get to stay after the service. We have different congregants sponsor it, and we, you know, have coffee and snacks afterwards. But
yeah. I'm just teasing you. But but you do give great lessons, and, you know, I know you talk about different things, the wheel of the year, and, mm-hmm. and you bring those myths and those archetypes alive through the stories and explaining all that. So it's very educational, inspiring, and the music, too. So let's talk about what's the difference. Well, we have 2 minutes to talk about this. What's the difference between, you know, your service and a regular church service?
Well, I think there's a few things, and I don't know if 2 minutes will cover it, so we might have to come back to it later, but I think the primary difference is that in most houses of worship, the deity is always referred to in masculine terms and pronouns. It's always he and his and him, and in Gaia's temple, you'll hear she and her and hers, not exclusively, but, you know, mostly, and that is a huge difference, and that gives women, of course, a great foundation upon which to view who they are innately as divine beings, which has not happened for, you know, thousands of years. So that's a big difference right there.
Yeah, okay, and then, so we'll stop there and come back to another one. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Reverend Judith Laxer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I have Reverend Judith Laxer with us today. We were talking about, she has Gaia's Temple in Seattle, which is a goddess worship service, and we were talking about why her services are different than, say, a regular church service. So let's, I think you had some more things you wanted to share about that, Judith.
Yeah, so like I said, you know, hearing different pronouns, hearing divinity referred to in feminine pronouns like she and her and hers is a big difference in Gaia's temple. And then from a personal viewpoint, I don't try to I try very hard not to be dogmatic. I'm not trying to convince anybody or talk anybody into anything or try to convince them why they should believe a certain way. I try to approach the teachings, I call them teachings instead of sermons, in a way that is just food for thought, that kind of opens up different ways to view things and different perspectives, so that you know, it's not fear-mongering and it's not threatening at all. It's really just open, and I try to approach it from a place of invitation. And as you mentioned before, the services, the teachings are kind of based on the Wheel of the Year, and that is a pagan model, the Wheel of the Year. And I always like to make sure to express it pagan because it's got such a nasty connotation to it. After so many centuries.
Yeah, well, we have to heal. We have to heal that. We have to use those terms to, clear that negative energy from that.
Right,
so.
Right. And part of that is, just learning the truth of it. So the word pagan means of the earth. That's all it means. It just means earth-based. So pagan spirituality includes nature as divine, as opposed to, a god that's somewhere up there in the heavens, and that's the only thing that's divine and nothing else is. So that is a huge shift from what you will find in traditional churches and other forms of, the predominant religions on the planet, that that the earth is alive and she's a sentient being, and her seasons are like metaphors for our own life cycle as well. And the theology, if I can use that word, is really much about cycles, and that there's no end. Things just continue to cycle around and around and around, and the wisdom of those circles and cycles. So that's what I try to express as we go through the seasons. And so I use those seasonal changes as metaphors for everything else that goes on in our life, and how we can view that from a spiritual perspective and understand where we fit in the larger picture.
Well, it's very healing, too. Nature's healing. A book I'm reading, it's a novel, but it feels like a person's story. And running away from her family and the abuse that was there, that she went to nature. Nature was where she could feel that divinity,
faith.
That God and faith. And it's very healing. And
right.
Yeah.
Right, and we live in an industrial society that tells us that, the more machines, the more technology we have, the more we kind of separate or control nature, the safer, the better, the clearer and cleaner we are, the more successful we'll be. And I think it's pretty clear when we look at the state of the world that that is not so. I don't think going to the opposite extreme is the answer either. That's like I said, I don't think if I were to have created a ministry that was for women only, that would be balanced or healthy. But the opposite extreme, where there's no divine feminine, where we get completely away from nature, where we rely only on our technology and industry, is equally as unhealthy.
Yeah, and so it's about finding the balance. And I know that's your work. You're wanting, your mission is to bring that balance of the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah, yeah. And, even just the concept of balance is so foreign to people that, there are people who form immediate judgments that if it's a goddess worship service, then that automatically mean, I don't know, some of the judgments that I've heard about people who haven't even attended or really don't know anything about it, the instantaneous judgment that it is wrong and it's bad and it's, counter and, just cultish,
yeah.
And, just whew, all the fear comes up around it. It's like,
yeah.
No. Sometimes this pendulum has to swing a little bit to the other side in order to eventually find that balance. And that's what I feel like we're doing. By including the divine feminine in our consciousness, in our worship, in our understanding of who we are as women, and that divine feminine that's within men as well. It's not gender specific. That's a real hard one for people to wrap around.
Yeah. Do you find any people, because I've come across some sometimes, that are sort of the fundamentalist goddess people who tend to exclude them? I feel like they exclude the male aspect. And
yes.
And
yes, I think there's that kind of edgy and fringiness in any sort of a movement, and that exists as well.
Yeah, and so that people can be reacting to that, sensing that it's an either or it's against. It's just like having my book titled Woman of Wisdom sitting on a book counter at a bookstore, and the men would come up and say, is this an anti-men book?
Right, right. That's automatic where they go. Yeah. It's one said anything that men are not wise.
No, so
we're just trying to bring the divine feminine into the picture. And it is threatening because it challenges the dominant paradigm. And that is threatening to those who are in the dominant paradigm. And it's an interesting thing. I also think, when this movement began of, the women's liberation back in the 60s and 70s, and, it was, I think that's when that pendulum really had a swing to the extreme in order to get some traction, because it was so entrenched on the other side. And I think that understanding of what feminism is, and, you know, just a dirty word, feminism, right? I think that was formed at that time because it seemed so radical, and it was very extreme. And, but that is not necessarily how it has continued. That was just like the spark, the beginning of the revolution that erupted. And now, I think, hopefully, I mean, this is where I'm coming from, and hopefully this is where everyone can start wrapping around it and having it be an okay concept, that it really is inclusive, and that just because you include the divine feminine doesn't mean you hate men, you're bashing men, men are bad, men are wrong. There's a distinction, I think, between a patriarchal mindset and men as individuals and humans. And I think it all gets mushed in together. People get very confused.
Yes, and you're right about that. You know, that whole the 70s movement, it was needed. And
yes.
I know I interviewed Jean Shinoda Bolen recently, and she's a very strong feminist and has done a lot of good work for women trying to get the fifth UN conference going. And she goes to the UN conferences on women every year.
Right.
And she said, you know, it's that healing of that word, because it has such, you know, has had
right.
such the negative connotation that she continues to use it rather than replace it with something else. That,
right,
but for
right.
her, it's more shifting. Because I heard her speak one time, and it was about now the spiritual element has come in, you know,
mm-hmm.
which has rounded out that whole woman's movement. It
right.
was more, you know, so it comes from less an anger place. I think people responded to, they could sense that anger that women had back in
yeah.
the 70s.
Yeah.
And I think we have expressed that, maybe, you know, probably not done with that. But.
Right. I'm sure we're not done with that, but that's not all there is. And also at the very beginning, I mean, you can imagine if women's power has been suppressed for centuries and centuries and centuries, when that lid first comes off, wow, you better get out of the way. Because that's, you know, a long time and a lot of pressure that's got to blow, you know, and that's what happened. And now we need to normalize it and you know, embrace the impulse non-judgmentally, non-emotionally, and recognize that when we look at what's taking place on our planet, from environmental, you know, devastation all the way down to the still inequities between the haves and the have-nots, that divine feminine has been missing. And that's going to really help all of us to move forward.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons back in my 20s and even before then, when I kind of left going to the regular church service that I was brought up on, and
mm-hmm.
it was not knowing what was missing, but sensing something was missing for me.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And there was no other paradigm to go to look for something that could fill me in that
right,
way.
Because we know what we know about ourselves as women inside, but then we don't see it reflected in places of power in the external world. We didn't see it up in the pulpit. We didn't, you know, see it in the professors. We didn't see it in government, you know. So it can be a little crazy making. It's like, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm spiritual, I have a handle on things, and yet I have no power in the world.
Well, and it's interesting because even women will reject women ministers. I remember my parents' church at one point, they had a woman minister, and, you know, it was problematic. And,
right.
And so even for the women, that women have a hard time seeing women as leaders, and that's where we need to change our work. You know, that
yes.
we really got to do some work there because we need to support women as leaders. And,
I think
and
so
why
too.
Do we, and look at, why do we reject women leaders or women ministers or?
Because we're so entrained that the way it's been is the way it should be. It's just this automatic assumption. And, you know, the one thing we hate to do more than anything else is change, right? It's the one thing we know guaranteed is going to happen in our lives is change, and it's the thing we resist the most. All of us have been entrained that it's supposed to be a certain way, and then once that sort of change happens, it's like, whoa, it's really threatening. I think there's two reasons why that happens. One is because we're just so used to what we're used to, so any change kind of throws us off. And the other is that we have, because we've had no power for so long, we've lost trust in ourselves. And so if we see another woman up there in leadership, we don't trust her either because we don't trust what we see in the mirror. So it can either be that we're jealous of them, that they have the power, how come they do and I don't? Or, wow, how can I trust a woman? There's been nothing in our world that has promoted or fostered the trust of women in leadership forever, for as long as we can remember. So it's a huge leap, an important leap.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, you know, I just saw a video on YouTube. I sent that link to you. When we come back, might talk about that. But it's men apologizing to women. And this would be a very interesting video for people to watch. And it's probably going to go viral. And it's being passed around in my circles. So, when we come back, we'll talk about that and maybe even take some questions from the audience if anybody wants to call in. I'm Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. Come back. We'll talk more with Judith Laxer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hey, this is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. And welcome back. I have Judith Laxer here, and we're talking about the Divine Feminine and Goddess Worship, her Gaia's Temple in Seattle. And I was just mentioning there's a YouTube video. It's called Dear Woman. That's woman singular, by Gay Hendricks and Arjuna Arda. I'm not sure exactly how you say his name. And they're apologizing to women for thousands of years of an imbalance between masculine and feminine energies and calling for a new era of co-creation. And they have lots of men on there also. That they kind of, somebody probably wrote a statement and they're all reading parts of it, and there's even young men and older men, and it's what did you think, Judith?
Oh my God, I just thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I mean, by the end of it, I was just sitting in front of my computer just sobbing. I felt like this was what I had been waiting to hear, you know, forever, for as long as I can remember. It's cellular memory, centuries and centuries. There was so much about it that I found to be so beautiful. And the one thing that I want to talk about first was what they were talking about was what has taken place in our world due to the actions taken out of the masculine unconscious. And I think that's very, very important, because we're not talking about men being bad. We're talking about the difference between unconsciousness and consciousness. And that is, you know, that goes across both genders. That's everywhere. People take actions from a place of consciousness, and those are conscious actions. And then those that we take when we're not conscious are unconscious actions. And typically our unconscious actions are ones we regret or ones that we, you know, don't feel too good about. So this isn't so much about men and women are bad and wrong, but it is about consciousness as opposed to being unconscious. And what they were apologizing about were the actions that had been taken from the masculine unconscious. And I just thought that was such a beautiful thing and a beautiful way to frame it, because it's taking the blame out of it, and it's just referring to what actually happened and what has happened. And I just thought that was just so beautiful.
Yeah, and they're acknowledging, you know, if women were in power, or there was the balance of men and women in power together, mm-hmm. would we be going to war? You know,
right.
And apologizing for all the men that, you know, women have been abused, and you know, I think women are wanting and crying out to hear that kind of apology of, you know,
oh,
the pain
yeah.
around being abused, and all the women. I mean, they say now like 1 out of 6 children are abused in our country.
Yeah, I know. It's devastating when you think about what's going on. Absolutely devastating. It points to so much that is unhealed in the masculine unconscious. It just talks about those deeper wounds that have never been healed, and so that abuse just keeps coming down the pike, and until it comes to consciousness and we consciously heal it, it's just going to continue. You know, the other thing that I loved about this was that it is addressed to dear woman. Like you said, it was singular, not women, but woman, because it really kind of talks about the kind of the archetypal woman, and it's so inclusive to put it that way. This is, you know, not to any one woman or any group of women, but to all women everywhere who have suffered at the hands of this way of being. And it just was magnificent. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Loved it.
Yeah, it brought me to tears too. And I think, you know, there is a correct masculine energy, and you know, that is handed down the pike. You know, where do you learn abuse from? You've been abused. You are taught.
We witness it and we see it everywhere.
Right.
And
so if you are brought up and have an overbearing and an abusive father, what kind of father are you going to become unless you actually do a healing journey and you become conscious and decide, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stopping here in my generation. And I think a lot of men are doing that. We're seeing that.
Yes, I think so. And I think it's also important to keep in mind that abuse is not gender specific, you know, so the abuse can also have come from our mothers, but mothers, you know, men and women have both suffered under this patriarchy. It's not just that women have suffered, men have suffered too. They've had to squelch their own feminine energy because they'd be perceived as weak if they were to enact it, whereas girls have been encouraged to be more like men, more like boys. And so the wounded feminine has happened in both genders. The wounded masculine has happened in both genders. And it gets tricky when you're talking about what's happened and to men and what's happened to women, that we can start the blame game between genders. And it's really important to just think of it in terms of energy instead of gender. You know, that feminine energy is magnetic and masculine energy is radiance, and that's the electromagnetics that takes place on this planet, and there needs to be both in order for that to be balanced and healthy. Any one over the other is where the problem runs in. So, like we were saying before, you know, when feminism first burst on the scene, it was angry and it was volatile and, you know, whoa, it was really threatening and, you know, not a pretty sight. You know, and I think this gesture of conscious men apologizing to woman is the same sort of thing, that it's not in that it's volatile or not pretty, but that it is such an extraordinary thing to have happen because it hasn't happened prior to this. And it just made me feel, you know, so hopeful about the future. you know, that men could look us straight in the eyes through a camera and say, you know, I apologize for suppressing you, and that you had no room in the government, in the pulpit, and spiritually, sexually, you know, on every level. It just was magnificent.
I thought it was sweet, with the young men that were on there, too, that hearing
yeah.
it. But, you know, what was interesting, because they took all the comments down, that they got a lot of hate
yeah.
and abusive-type comments on their comment on their blog. And it's kind of amazing, you know, and I don't think it's all from men, because some of the links to some blogs where women were going, well, I like the message, but they creeped me out, you know. It's kind of like, oh, my God, you know. And you know, I think it comes to, men, that whole thing of men will appear weak if they appear soft like that, you know, and
mm-hmm.
apologetic is like being the feminine characteristics of, you know,
yeah.
the weaker sex. So, oh, I apologize. And but they did it from a place of strength. I mean, you have to be strong to be able to say that, to really
yes.
feel it and say it. It comes from a place of strength. And there's a stereotype of that soft and weak.
Yes, I agree. You know, it's very interesting, too, because my service in Gaia's Temple this Sunday is on forgiveness. And one of the things that I'm talking about is, you know, we will do anything. People would rather be right than happy. And they would rather justify and stay righteous about who they are or what they've done, even when they know it's wrong, than to admit and just own it and make amends and ask for forgiveness and atone for the trouble they've caused and liberate themselves and heal and move on. And so it's kind of interesting that there would be a reaction to an apology this way that would be a negative reaction.
I know.
Because we just come from a place where we're, you know, it's not okay to apologize. Like, that makes us weak, or it makes us something. It's crazy. How did this happen? I just don't know.
Well,
it's,
I was thinking too.
To apologize.
Yeah,
for
and
everyone involved.
There's a place too for women to accept apology. There's a place for forgiveness, like you said, that we have to meet that. You know, it's not about
yes.
just, okay, well, we'll wait and see. We can't take the attitude, an attitude about it. It's kind of like, it's, you know, it's a start. When people apologize, you actually then have a place to do some good, serious work. You have your dialogue can start when you have the apology.
That's right. And it also comes from the place of understanding that, when you apologize for something, it doesn't necessarily mean you can reverse your actions or you can fix what took place. But if you are seriously and sincerely apologizing because you've come to realize the pain or the harm that you have caused, that sincerity will heal. It might not fix or change. I mean, we're not going to get back 6,000 years of women's history. I mean, we're excavating it now, but we're not going to change what's the plight of women for the last 6,000 years. But I'll tell you, I received healing watching that YouTube video. I was like, all right, boys, let's go. Let's move on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was big because, to me, I could feel the sincerity. And I only pray that could be like the whole population can understand that sincerity for healing, because when any one of us gets healed, we all get healed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it's passed down the line.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we do it. You know, and so when we do our personal work, it's not just for us. It we have to know it has an effect
on
everyone.
It's that morphic field, right, that we're all part of it. We're not separate from each other. We're all connected to each other. And so anything that happens to anybody happens to all of us. The good and the bad, you know.
And when, I just think to this, there's an energetic, when men are in the correct position of the masculine, it's a beautiful energy that women, because I've seen this energy run, and when you're with a man, that it has that correct masculine quality of strength, and you feel so taken care of and held and protected and loved, and there's not that angst or, you know, that separation of the male and the female kind of, you know, and it's a wonderful feeling, and it's so rare to experience because we're used
yeah.
to having that kind of that division and our guards up, you know, or
yes.
because kind of, well, until the trust is built. And so, yeah, there's
yeah.
a lot of work to be done on both sides of the coin.
Yes. I think that's that is another reason why, as I know I keep going back to this, about how I've created this ministry to be inclusive to both men and women, which is kind of unusual in goddess, you know, culture, and or has been unusual in goddess culture. I think that's changing now. And the reason for that is that, you know, just as I said before, you know, we as women have felt like smart and capable and ready to take action and have not had the power to do so, it stands to reason that men have felt, you know, emotional and the desire to nurture and take care and have not had the power to do so because of fear of how they will be perceived. And, you know, we just look at what happens just as an example. This is not across the board, but as an example about, you know, the men who have come back from wars and how they've been traumatized because they've had to shut down their emotional selves in order to keep fighting. And that's not their whole self. Their whole self has a soft heart and has compassion and empathy and, you know, all the things that we typically think of as feminine qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So for men to worship a goddess means that they can find those qualities within themselves, because those masculine qualities, you know, are innate. And the feminine qualities that have been suppressed for so long now have an opportunity to, you know, emerge and, you know, resurrect and heal and be integrated in a healthy way.
That's right. So we're going to come back to that. This is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Judith Laxer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness, natural food for pets, where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer, even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer as she shares how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine, Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis. I'm talking with Reverend Judith Laxer about the feminine and our connection to the goddess and God. And Judith, please give out your contact information. The people can get a hold of you if they'd like to, or check out your website.
Sure, absolutely. The Gaius Temple website is www.gaiustemple.org, and that's spelled G-A-I-A, excuse me, S as in Sam, temple.org. GaiusTemple.org, and the phone number is 206-529-8085. And you can also find my personal website on the web as well at judithlaxer.com.
So great. Well, we had said earlier that you could, if anybody wanted to call in with a question, the phone number is 800-930-2819. So Judith, we were talking, before I mentioned about, the myths and,
Yeah, about the different goddesses and gods and how I use them in my teaching. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up about that was that, you know, that is also another huge difference that you'll find in Gaia's Temple than you would in other traditional forms of worship, because, you know, our spirituality, like our psyches, like our hearts, is very, you know, complicated, and it's not so singular or just one facet. There's many different dimensions and facets to it. And so in pagan spirituality, earth-based spirituality, there are many different gods and goddesses that have different attributes, different qualities to them, and we can relate to all of them because we each have all of those qualities within ourselves. So in a teaching that talks about this, you know, this particular goddess or that particular goddess, we can learn to identify those and relate to those qualities that we find within ourselves. As opposed to what I have found in other traditional churches and other forms of spirituality, that, you know, the divinity is like that one God who, you know, teaches this one thing, or, you know, it just seems very singular, very particular. And if I don't relate to that God or I don't understand what that is all about, I'm not going to feel connected. Whereas, which is the reason why pagan spirituality just spoke so much to me and why I began to follow it, because with all the different gods and goddesses, I see myself in the divinity. And that was a big change in it, and that is a big difference in it, I think.
Well, give us an example.
Okay, well, my favorite story, I think, of all of them is the story that I tell both in the autumn and the spring of the great grain goddess Demeter. That's from the Greek culture, Demeter and her daughter Persephone. And we know this ancient myth to be one in which Persephone is taken to the underworld by the god Hades, and he feeds her pomegranate seeds, and she eats six of them, and so a bargain is struck that she'll stay in the underworld with him for 6 months, and then in 6 months she'll come back up to the surface of the earth. And this is an explanation of the seasonal changes of, you know, spring and summer to winter and fall. And so that's a very simplistic story, of course. I don't tell it nearly that simply, and I've really fleshed it out, and I tell it in lots of different ways. But we can see that we would understand what it's like to go into what we would call our metaphoric underworld as a metaphor of what happens during the dark time of the year. We can see how that matures us. We have the theme of Persephone's return to the surface of the earth as the coming of spring, and so we understand what it's like to go to the deeper places in our psyche and then come back up to the surface, and to understand that in a cyclical context. We can see what we would feel like as parents or elders to lose our children for a while, and the panic and fear that occurs, and then the joy of finding them again, and the cyclical nature of that. So we can relate to what it's like to be a mother, what it's like to be a daughter, what it's like to go to the underworld, what it's like to come to the surface again. And these things speak to our deeper psyches, and they help connect us spiritually to planet Earth and how we live on it, on her.
Yeah, and they're the archetypes, you know, which,
right.
You know, they're gods and goddesses. I always think of them as sort of having these human attributes. They're almost kind of human like us, because they have all these, their own, things that they deal with too, just like humans do.
Yes. So we find we can relate to them. And their stories are also, you know, great teachings and great lessons for us as well. You know, both the things that they do that are wonderful and the things that are fallible as well.
And probably we see this cross-culturally. You know, there's lots of gods and goddesses in every culture. And you have the Nordic, which was my heritage, and the Greek and the Roman and the... But even... Probably even if you get to other tribal cultures or Native American.
So Egyptian and African. It's every culture prior to what is taking place in modern times had, you know, a spirituality that was way more connected to the earth and was more, you know, polytheistic. It was, you know, about 6,000 years ago when the switch to, you know, the one, the only one God.
So what happened there 6,000 years ago? Wasn't there?
You know, there's so many theories about it, and that's probably a whole other hour's worth of conversation about how that could happen. Again, I think there's many things that contributed to that, but the one thing that was very helpful for me was reading Demetra George's book, Mysteries of the Dark Moon, and she talks about all of the moon phases that, you know, the moon goes from new to full and to dark in one month, right? One moon. And then she uses that as a metaphor also in the bigger picture of how our lives go, that we are born at the new moon, we grow to our maturity, and then as we age and become elders, we, you know, begin to wane, and then we go through our death, and then we are born again with the whole concept of reincarnation. And then she looks at it in a larger context of what's taken place with regard to spirituality, and that in ancient times, when the goddess was in the fullness of her power and she was fully worshipped on this planet, was the last full moon phase. And then as she began to wane, the dark ages, where it's like the waning phase of the moon into the darkness where it seemed that the divine feminine was completely annihilated. And she likens where we are now in our evolution to be a new moon phase, that the goddess is returning and growing to power again.
Well, that's
and I love this metaphor because it really takes the blame out of everything. It's another one of the natural cycles.
Yeah, and nice to know we're coming back.
So
thank you so much for being with us today, Judith. And
thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Yeah. And for your work, bringing a balance of the male and the female energies together, and keep doing the good work.
I will. My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay. So I want to leave everybody with this thought today. Just allow yourself to bring the goddess into your daily worship along with God. There's God and goddess. There's male and female. There's masculine and feminine. And the world needs the balance of both of those beautiful energies. So this is Chris Danis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, you can actually do that through the Woman of Wisdom website, too. So our information is there, www.womenofwisdom.org. Our email address is wow@womenofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller, and actually that was number one in six categories in June of 2009, and it's an award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can experience the many voices of the Divine Feminine in reading the book. I also have an online teleclass at wisewomanuniversity.org, and it's on how you can reclaim your feminine wisdom and become a powerful woman. The courses are 4 weeks long, and it's a teleclass, so you'll actually be talking to me in person on the phone. So just go to www.wisewomanuniversity.org. And don't forget to sign up for the Woman of Wisdom newsletter. Find out about our events. We have monthly dinners in Seattle now and bi-monthly community connection workshops. And we're just planning a very exciting 20th conference in 2012. So thanks for tuning in to Voices of Women. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stamos. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stamos.
I'm here to do joy, I'm here to do love, and think paradise. I want to be kind, want to be divine, have an even mind, most all the time. But what I'm really here to do,
is mostly love. Wanna breathe love, wanna breathe faith, I wanna breathe truth and grace and grace and grace. I'm gonna expand, I'm gonna create, I'm gonna take my soul out on a date. But what I'm really here to do is mostly love.